Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. I hope you'll be able to stick with us. We've got a special program planned here. I've got a guest in studio who I'll be introducing in just a few moments. But I'm glad you're with us today. And I want to remind you, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find out more about us, about the program, listen to past programs, and you can also click and follow the link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. But I am joined in the studio today with Clarissa Allegi, who is a candidate for the Summit County Court of Common Pleas. And we'll get there in just a moment. But if you're in Summit County, I hope you'll listen. And if you're wondering about the judges and how they get on the ballot and how to know who's who and what's what, I hope you'll stay tuned today. We'll hopefully be a blessing to you. Also want to remind you to check out the information on the Veterans Day D-Day Prayer Edition celebration that is going to be this Veterans Day, November the 11th, at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. at 11:30 in the morning. There is a bus leaving from Northeast Ohio. It's actually leaving from Wadsworth, and you can find out more about this trip at if you go to the Ohio Christian Alliance website at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Or you can go to the D-Day Prayer Project website, which is ddayprayerproject.org. That's ddayprayerproject.org. And you can find out more about that. We're going to have a number of people there. Bob France, many of our listeners are familiar with him over in our sister station of 1420. Bob France is going to be the MC of the event. Ohio Christian Alliance President Chris Long will be there. He's the one who started the ball rolling. Senator Rob Portman, who got it through the Senate. A number of World War II reenactors and a number of other special guests are going to be there. And then author and historian Bill Federer is going to be with us. He is going to be giving a tour of the World War II Memorial and then the Korean War Memorial, the Veterans War Memorial, or Vietnam Veterans War Memorial, and then we'll conclude at the Lincoln Memorial. And if you would like to ride on the bus, there is a cost. It'll cover the bus and the hotel room. We will leave Wadsworth at 11 o'clock on Thursday, November the 10th, and then we'll return after everything in Washington, D.C. We'll head back and should be back by about midnight or so there Friday night. So just check us out online. At, like I said, the ddayprayerproject.org or the ohioca.org, and you can find out information on the Veterans Day D-Day Prayer Edition celebration in Washington, D.C. All right, well, we're going to get right into our program today with our guest. As I said, Clarissa, I did it right the first time. I'm going to probably mess it up the second time. Allegi.
You got it right the second time.
I got it right the second time. There we are.
thank you for having me.
All right. Well, thank you for being with us. And you are candidate for judge in Summit County Court of Common Pleas, right?
Yes, I am. There are actually three different seats on the Common Pleas bench that are up on the ballot in November. There are two Common Pleas General Division seats, and there's one Common Pleas Domestic Relations seat. And I am running for one of the General Division seats.
Okay. And, you know, there's several judges usually on the ballot there, of course, and we've got Common Pleas. And what exactly is a Court of Common Pleas? If people are wondering, trying to figure out what this one is as opposed to probate court or something, or is that related?
Kind of. All right. So the court system in Ohio is set up in tiers. Mm-hmm. You have your general trial court level, which is where the majority of citizens, if they're going to be involved in the court system, that's where you start, whether it's in a municipal court, which are misdemeanors and dollar value cases, civil cases under $25,000. Well, slightly lower than that, but the lower dollar civil cases are in municipal court. And then if there's a case where the dollar value on a civil case is higher, over $25,000, that goes to common pleas court. And then all of your felony cases are heard in the common pleas court. So they're both trial courts, both municipal mm-hmm. and common pleas. But that's your first access to the court system. Whether you're a plaintiff or a defendant, that's where you come into the system. Those are your trial courts. Those are the frontline judges that make the decisions that impact everyday lives. And when somebody gets a ruling there, if the end result of the case is not what they want, then they progress to the Court of Appeals. We have Court of Appeals spread out through the entire state. They cover multiple county areas. You'll see Court of Appeals races on the ballot as well in November. Mm-hmm. And then those judges have one more level of review. If you go to the, you know, you went to trial court, you didn't like it. You go to the Court of Appeals, you don't like it. You still don't like it. You can go to the Ohio Supreme Court.
Okay. So in the area where you're at, Summit County Court of Common Pleas, does that cover the entire county or just whereabouts?
That covers the entire county. That is the general division court for Summit County. So it is the top end coming from Richfield all the way down to the bottom end, picking up Clinton and Green, Hudson, Stowe, City of Akron. All of those municipalities within the county are covered in that court. And again, those are the higher dollar value cases, as well as the felonies that are committed. And obviously, there are multiple judges. As I said, there's more than one of us running for seats just this election cycle. So there are multiple judges on the bench in that case.
Right.
On that
and, court. And as I was looking at this before the program today, I was thinking about judges. We read a lot about judges in the Bible. It's sometimes good, sometimes bad. But it is something that I personally, as a pastor, I believe God has, I don't know if I want to say ordained, but he certainly authorized the position of judges, and we see it in the scriptures. One of the earliest ones that I know of is in Exodus when Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egypt, and as they were out there, he was wearing himself out making all the decisions, because oftentimes you see in some governments, especially in the past, where the king or the leader or whatever, he would exercise all the powers, you know, legislative, judicial, executive, all of that, and he'd be everything. And, God had allowed Moses to follow the advice of his father-in-law, and they set up people to judge and to hear matters. And it's kind of like what you just described. They started with the lower level cases, and if they weren't able to solve it there, they kind of kick it up a little bit. And eventually, only the big cases got up to Moses at the top, and it really streamlined what was happening. But the other thing that they did is they instituted laws and rules so that people would know what was expected of them. And I kind of look at what we have as our courts today as an outgrowth of that, because you're not there to make laws or enforce them, but in the sense of like the judicial or the executive. But what is your role as a judge?
Well, so as a judge, your role is to be impartial mm-hmm. and apply the law as it exists. Judges are not making law. You should, if you're making a law from the bench, you're doing something wrong. That's not the role. The role is to take the law as it exists in the state and apply it. Whether you agree with the law, whether you disagree with the law, it is the law that's current in the state of Ohio. That's what you apply. And you have to set your personal opinion aside when you step on that bench and apply the law, do it fairly and impartially. You know, you take your bias out. You have to just make the decision with the facts that are in front of you. You can't just guess whether or not, well, gee, he seems like he's telling the truth. You need to really kind of mm-hmm. listen to it and listen to the evidence and see what supports it. But the judge themselves applies the law that somebody else has written, that it's been enacted by the legislature. And the people who change those laws, you know, if you don't like the ruling that happens in a court because you don't like the law, it's not the judge. It is the legislature's job to then have to go back and go, gee, we didn't like this outcome. we need to change it.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you think about that, you know, again, referring back to when Moses there in Exodus chapter 18, you know, they selected competent people. I'm assuming you're competent.
I absolutely hope that I would be competent. I wouldn't have run if I didn't feel I was.
Right. Well, that's what I wanted to get at, is what kind of a background do you bring to this, you know, so that you're able to make these decisions? Because these are important decisions that affect the life, and not just in the present day, but decisions that you make as a judge can affect somebody's life, the direction of their entire life.
That is true. Ohio's minimum requirement for a judge is that you have to have been a practicing attorney for 5 years. I have been in practice for 15 years. I graduated from the University of Akron School of Law. Prior to that, I had a bachelor's degree in accounting from the University of Akron. So all of my education has come straight out of Summit County. And then when I graduated, I spent some time while I was still in law school. I interned at the Stark County Public Defender's Office. I took cases with an intern's license. That meant I was supervised by a practicing attorney at that time before I had ever graduated or passed the bar exam, and was able to get straight into the courthouse and see how the whole process worked from the attorney's side on lower level cases, but they were still important. The people that mm-hmm. I represented in those positions from the public defender's office, whether as far as they were concerned, telling them I was an intern didn't make I was their attorney, and mm-hmm. you know, the person that stood up next to them and, you know, in right. front of the judge and helped them with their plea. What I realized is that a lot of people, I mean, they come into the court system, they're overwhelmed, they don't understand what's going on, they just want to whatever they did wrong, they just want to get the punishment, you know, get it resolved and get on with their life. They want to not have this one mistake trip them up forever. So that was like my very beginning introduction to the practice of mm-hmm. law. From there, I finished my internship. I ended up clerking at Canton Municipal Court. I worked to support 4 judges plus 2 magistrates. That position involved doing a lot of legal research and a lot of behind the scenes writing. When the judge is sitting there and looking at the issues in a case, when they're like, you know, this is really tough, I don't know what the law means, they don't guess. They go find the answer, or they have an intern or a law clerk or a judicial attorney who will help them find that answer in the research. And then they take the information as it's put in front of them. You evaluate it all and apply it to the facts that are of the mm-hmm. case in front of you. So I did that support role from the very beginning. And then after I received my license to practice, once I passed the bar exam, I started working for a small firm in Cuyahoga Falls. I was there for 9 years. In a small law firm, unlike the big ones, when you go into a large firm, that first couple of years as a junior associate, you do a lot of research and writing, and that's it. You don't go to court. Mm-hmm. In a small law firm, you go to court from day one. You are there to work. You are there to be an attorney. The license is there. You're in place, and you represent your clients. Small firms tend to represent smaller clients. You know, we have some businesses, but the businesses are small businesses. Yes, you represent a lot of individuals. I had a broad exposure to a lot of different courts throughout the state. I represented cases in pretty much all of the municipal courts in Northeast Ohio. So if a municipal level trial court, I was there. Summit County Common Pleas, Medina, Portage County, Stark County, Cuyahoga County, all of those counties around us. I've been to court in those courts as well. And then I've also been to federal court, and I'm also licensed to practice in United States Tax Court as well as the United States Bankruptcy Courts for both the Northern and Southern Districts of Ohio. What that means is that I've done a lot of different types of law over the
right.
year. But the thing that it all comes back to is that my clients are people. They're working, hardworking people who have had something to bring them into contact with the legal system, and they want someone to help them get through it. So my role as an attorney over the years is to been help them navigate and steer through that system. The thing they all have in common is they want it over as quickly as you can make it happen. Sometimes as the attorney, you might be able to make it happen faster, but you're stuck with the speed that the court itself moves. Mm-hmm. The judge kind of controls the pace of the docket. So that means that as a judge, everything comes in And they have to kind of get the cases rolling and make sure that you get your hearing scheduled, you get your pretrial scheduled, that attorneys have deadlines to follow. So as an attorney, when there's a deadline in front of me, I meet that deadline. But let me tell you, if the deadline is set 4 months out, I'm probably not going to give it to them in a month. I'm going to give it to them 4 months out.
Mm-hmm.
But if that same case, the deadline is set 2 months out, they're going to get it in 2 months because that's my job, is to get it done. And that is a big reason I'm running, is that the court that I'm running for, the docket does run somewhat slow. It runs slower compared to some of the other judges' dockets do in the same court. So I see an ability to help maybe bring some speed and a little more efficiency into that courtroom. So that when a client comes in and sees their attorney and says, how fast can we get this over with? The answer can be, it's going to take a little bit. It might be done in 12 months or 18 months, instead of the attorney having to tell them it might be 24 months to, you know, right, 3 years.
Well, and that kind of gets into what I wanted to ask as well. The reasons that you're running, you've been all around the legal system and in different capacities, but what made you wake up one morning and decide that I want to be a judge, other than just moving things along faster?
Well, I have had a strong commitment to community service over the years. I recently moved from the village of Clinton to the city of Greene. When I moved, I actually had to resign my position as the sitting mayor of the village of Clinton. Before I was the mayor in the village, I was a council person in the village. So I've always felt that if you see something and there's something you want to fix, you can watch it and complain about it, and that does nothing. Unless you actually step up and you're willing to be the person who says, there's this thing and I want it to be changed. It doesn't change by itself. It doesn't change if you go talk to your neighbor and say, hey, what do you think about this? Don't you think it should be different? Well, yeah, maybe it should. And maybe they agree with you, but nobody's doing it. So for me, seeing this opportunity, the seat came open on one of the dockets. You know, it was up for election this year. And that for me was it's the right time. And I have always felt that I can't complain about something if I'm not willing to try and do something about it.
Absolutely. You talk about this term, and I know a lot of people will get confused on the different courts and who's running on the ballot for this, that, and the other, and all. But how long would this term be?
The judicial seat that I'm running for is for a full 6-year term.
Mm-hmm.
So it would start January of 2023 and would run for 6 years.
Now, I know in Ohio we have term limits on some offices. Are there term limits on this? You only do like 2 terms or just as long as you're doing a good job, people keep electing you, you'd be okay?
Judges can continue to serve until they hit a certain age. And then
once
you're too old, you're not allowed to run anymore.
So it's an age limit rather than a term limit. Okay.
So, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious about that because I know a lot of times, you know, people in the Ohio House and Senate, they'll do so many years in the House and then they switch to the Senate or vice versa.
They have term limits.
Yeah, they have term limits. And of course, as mayors, I think the mayors do too, some of the community, or at least in
some
Richfield,
we do in Richfield Village.
We do in Richfield Village. I remember when they passed that, some of the people were complaining, saying, you know, people who like to run for office were saying, well, we'll run short of good candidates if we have term limits. That's a whole other subject. That's not what we're getting into right now.
yes, I could talk about that. But that doesn't get people to know why I'm running for judge.
But you know, when somebody goes into the voting booth, it does get a bit overwhelming sometimes. You know, when you see the number of judges, and it gets confusing. I've been doing the elections for years in Richfield Village, and you know, people will always ask, you know, well, how do I know who's what? And I know you're, you know, as a candidate, and especially as a candidate for judge, you're you know, limited in some of the things that you can comment on, obviously, because, you know, you may be seeing those things as a judge. But what is it that when you look on the ballot, I know some, this is new this year, some of the judges are going to have like an R or D after their name to indicate Republican or Democrat, and some don't. Could you give a little insight to our listeners on that?
Sure. Okay, so the change in Ohio law has gone into effect, and you are correct. We will see party affiliation following the name of the candidate for your Ohio Supreme Court justices, as well as for your Court of Appeals justices. So those benches, those upper level, you've gone through the trial court level, those judges all get to have an R or a D after the name. Maybe it's get, maybe it's have. I mean, it's there. They don't have a choice. You can't say I don't want it. Your party affiliation will be listed after your name on the Supreme Court as well as the Court of Appeals races. However, the trial court level, which is that first entry level that, you know, everyone sees, that's common pleas in municipal court, those will not have an R or D after their name. So the way to know on, you know, if your vote isn't, you know, you don't know who you're voting for, you're going to vote based on party affiliation.
Again, as I tell people too, you know, if you are with one of the major parties, you can always contact your county party office, and they usually have a list of suggested or endorsed, I should say, candidates, the ones that they're with. And you know, full disclosure, I am registered Republican, and I encourage people to check out the Summit County Republican or the Cuyahoga County, whatever county you're in. They will have a list, and the Democrats are the same way. I mean, obviously, and you can see who is affiliated with which party there because of who they endorse. And it also helps give you a little idea, maybe some of the issues of where you may come down without you having to say it, because you can't. But that brings me to another area too. And we talk about this, and you had talked earlier about how you know, you have to be impartial, and you have to kind of set some of your own feelings, your own personal convictions aside, and just look at the law, which is why, you know, we have Lady Justice with her blindfold on, you know, and holding the scales, because it's supposed to balance out one way or the other. But looking at that, one of the things that occurred to me is, because this is a question that comes up, somebody comes into your court and they're accused of some crime, murder, or whatever it is, kidnapping, some one of the what we consider the more serious crimes, then and they come before you, and we have this thing called bail. How do you know what to do here? What's your requirements on that as a judge?
Currently, Ohio law says that the judge will set bail, but you're setting bail based on whether or not that defendant is likely to come back. That's what you're considering, is how likely is the defendant to return to your courtroom for trial. That's how you're setting your bail. There is currently a constitutional amendment on the ballot that could change that will allow judges to consider more factors. But at the moment, the decision is supposed to be based on how likely are they to return and what should the bail be set at to encourage them to come back so that they come back for trial.
All right. I believe that's issue one on the ballot. And that's good to know, because that will affect you, you know, as a sitting judge. You will be bound, as you said, by the law. And so that's good. If somebody wants to find out more about you, or maybe help out with your campaign, I know we just got a few weeks before the election, but what can they do? What's the best way to find out more information?
Best place to probably reach me for information right now is to follow my Facebook page. The campaign has a page. It's Allegie for Judge. And then other than that, reach out at clarissa@clarissaallegie.com, which is my campaign email address.
All right. Would you like to spell out the last name for
sure.
Our listeners?
It's Allegia.
Okay. And .com.
.com, yeah.
All right. That sounds great. And I do want to thank you for being with us. We've just got a couple of minutes left. I think less than two, about a minute left on here. And it might be a little long question for a minute, but I'm just kind of curious, you don't have to go into it too much, but what judge or politician would you think most has influenced you in your career as an attorney, as a mayor, and looking out as a judge?
The judge that I will say probably has influenced me the most is retired Judge Patricia Cosgrove. When I was still in law school, I clerked in her court as an intern.
All right. And it's good to have somebody local that you were able to sit under to learn from. I want to thank you for being in the studio with me today. And I got about 15 seconds here. Again, your website real quick.
The website is the Facebook campaign page, Allegie for Judge.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and thanks for listening today. And we're out of time. Join us again next time. Don't forget to vote on Election Day.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com, read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.